Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message.
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning, church. I like being in small churches. That's where how I grew up, okay? When you go to a big church, there's too much work to do. You should have a booklet. If you don't, make sure you get one, because what I say goes along with what's in this booklet. I'll probably go too fast for you to take notes, so we put all the notes in there for you, okay? And after we're finished, if you don't have a will or power of attorney documents, and or if you just want to talk about your finances, there's a sign-up sheet that's going to be pushed around. I'd be happy to sit down with you. Here it's in the church. In fact, the pastor's given me his office, okay? And spend some time with you, helping you do this. Now, anything we do for you is a free service, okay? There's no charge involved, all right? And when I say no charge, you all ask, well, nothing's free. And that's true. I'm paid by the national office. Churches help us with our expenses. That's why we can offer a free service. Okay? So it's a free service we offer to all of our people across the country. So if you'd like to take advantage of that, it's a first come, first service, first serve, and we'd be happy to spend some time with you. We call it radical stewardship because the word radical doesn't mean off the wall. It means to be rooted. And the principles we share this morning from the Word of God, I trust will become rooted in your heart and rooted in your life. That's why we're talking about radical stewardship. Let's look at what the Bible says. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's a very interesting verse, isn't it? Deuteronomy says, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives the ability to produce wealth. Interesting. Well, I want to share biblical principles. There's six of them I want to cover this morning. Most pastors only have 3 points. We have six. That's why we're going to be here a little longer. Find the spot marked X. In other words, where are you financially? We're going to talk about setting goals, and of course, once you set a financial goal, you have to determine how to reach that goal. That's what you call creating a financial plan. Number four, most times in churches, we understand and hear often about the 10%, the tithe that belongs to God, right? Not very often do we go over into that other 90%. And sometimes because we don't go there, we kind of think, well, we've given God his, the rest is mine. I like us to understand everything we have belongs to him, okay? But I want to go into that 90% and give you some information and help in that whole area of managing your spending. Number five, plan for retirement. Some of you here are retired. The rest of you here wish you were. I'm glad you younger people are here, though, because I wish I knew what I'm going to share in this set a lot sooner than I did, okay? And number six, final touches, of course, we'll get to that, which is a very important part. So let's start back at find the spot marked X. It's difficult to follow directions if you don't know where you are. Now, you ladies will understand this probably better than the guys, because generally ladies like to shop, generally, okay? The bigger the mall, the broader the smile. The longer the guy sits. Every time I'm in Edmonton, I go to that big mall, okay? I haven't been there for some time, but last time I was there, it was about 3 in the afternoon that day. I had somebody cancel an appointment or something, so I thought, oh, I'll go to walk around the mall. Because I generally like to go to talk to the guys that are sitting. I walked in and started walking around and saw a couple guys sitting. So I went over and talked to them. I said, hey, guys, how are you doing? They said, fine. I said, you've been here long? They said, no, about an hour. I said, well, how long do you have to wait? And one guy says, well, the store closes at 9. I said, did you give them the credit card? The guy piped up and said, no way. Ladies, let's say you go to a mall like that and you're looking for a particular shoe store. You could walk all the way around that mall if you wanted to, but probably go to a thing called a directory where all the stores are listed, the floor diagram is there. And for our example's sake, let's say that shoe store is there. That directory really doesn't make any sense unless you find a little square with an X marked in it with the words beside it. You are here. It's difficult to follow directions if you don't know where you are. Same is true with your money. If you really don't know where you are financially, it's pretty hard for me to get you anywhere this morning. So let's go back and start right at the beginning, how to find the spot, Mac Dex. And the first thing I want you to do is this. Be honest. I have to talk to you guys, okay? Because generally we don't like talking about money. It's very personal. And sometimes we even skirt. In fact, sometimes our spouses don't even know about how we handle our money. If you're going to talk about money this morning, let's be honest. Secondly, be open. If you're going to really find out where you are, everything has to be on the table. All the time payments, any overdue payments, and all the credit cards. Like there can be no surprises. Be thoughtful. How did you get to this spot? Now, whether you're doing well financially or not well financially, sitting down thinking things through how do I handle my money might be a good exercise. Like if you're not doing well, maybe it's not all your fault. What was it back in 2008, the markets really fell? I was living in Ontario then. A lot of people down there lost their jobs. Or maybe you've been sick, haven't been able to go into work, yet the bills keep coming in. Some of you will understand this. Now you understand that parenting doesn't quit when the kids leave home. I have two kids. They're growing now. Being on the road, you talk every day. My son, he's a cop in Winnipeg right now. My daughter, she's an IT person. And one time I was talking with my son and just find out how things are going. And the conversation seems to always go something like this. Dad, I need an extra couple $100. Now, if you don't, you know, go right away at it, they generally tell you what they would like to do it for, or what they need it for, okay? But I used to smile, and I still do when I think about it, when they say words like this, Dad, I'll pay you back. Yeah. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. All right. On the flip side of that, if you're not doing well, maybe it's your fault. Maybe you haven't put into place the very basic things of how to handle money. You don't keep track of where you spend it. You've never sat down and made out a budget. So maybe thinking how you handle your money could be a good exercise. When you talk about money, it's okay to get emotional. As I cross the country, there are a lot of people who are afraid. They have questions, wondering if they got enough to retire on or if the market's going to crash. How many of you also understand that money deals with relationships? That picture says a lot, doesn't it? Won't even go there, okay? When you talk about money also, though, you need to get hopeful because the Bible has so much to say about this. Let's look at what some of those verses are. In Matthew 6, it says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added or given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. The Bible says, nothing is impossible with God. Now, do we really believe the Bible? It's interesting how we prayed this morning, isn't it? What about when you read this verse, what's impossible with man is possible with God? Let me encourage you as you prayed this morning, okay? God's still on the throne. When we talk about money, though, can we bring our financial situation into this context? Yeah. God's interested in every area of our life, isn't he? Let's get back to finding that spot, Mark Dex, okay? We call it the 00 law of finances. Now, you don't have to work with me, okay, on this because it's kind of simple. The first O represents everything that you... The second O represents everything that you... You take one O from the other O, you get your... Net worth. Now, every time you go to a financial institution to borrow money, that's what they're after. How much are you really worth? That's when I hope you don't have to say, uh-oh, All right. Let me give you an illustration. Things that we own. Maybe I have a house, a condo, an RV, some securities. Let's put some figures in there just for an example's sake. Okay, this guy has a house worth about $350, automobiles worth about $22, an RV of $48, mutuals of $26, TFSA of about $12, bit of cash. So the total that he owns in that illustration is $578,800. That's the first O. Now let's see what he owes on his situation. On his house, he still owes $195, automobiles $22, RV getting it down there $18. Remember I said everything had to be on the table? All right, don't you forget your mother-in-law. So the total of what he owes is $243. Now you take one from the other to get your net worth. In this case, is $335,800. You plug your own figures in. Everything that you own, take away everything that you owe. That's where I want to start this morning, spot marked X. Principle number two. Now we're going to talk about setting some financial goals. I want us to understand that, you know, where we are now doesn't mean to be where we are down the road, okay? And if you set some goals, I want you to deal with some short-term goals. On pages 7 and 8 in your booklet, there's all kinds of suggested goals that you might want to consider. But when you're setting goals, let me set some parameters for you. Goals need to be specific. They need to be measurable, attainable, realistic, timely. That acoustic there? It's a smart thing to determine how you want to spend your money. Now, once you've set your goals, once you've written them down, how are you going to meet them? That's what you call creating a financial plan. In creating a financial plan, the first thing I want you to do is this. Make a commitment to God. The Bible says, commit to the Lord whatever you do and your plans will succeed. I love that verse because we all want to be successful in life. Listen, here's one of the basic principles to living a successful life. Bring God into every situation. Okay? Secondly, get help from informed people and reliable resources. In your church, in your community, all kinds of people whose expertise is money. Bankers, lawyers, financial advisors, financial counselors, people who do taxes. Listen, if you're dealing with a financial situation that you don't know how to deal with, why don't you go to one of these people to get some advice? See, the Bible says it this way. The plans of the diligent lead to profit. Seeking to understand your situation is to your benefit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. So make a commitment to God, get help from informed people and reliable resources. Then I want to bring in the old McDonald law of economics. Now, I want to use those letters, E-I-E-I-O, to set up a financial plan. Okay? Now, the first E-I stands for what's your expected income? Whether it's employment, pensions, investments, a bunch of those, others. Let's put some figures in there. This guy, he makes about $41.50 a month. He has some investments. He gets about $98 a month from. Rents out a part of his home. He gets $77.50. Does a bit of work on the side, $300. So his total expected income is $51.98. That's the first EI. The second EI stands for how much money do you spend in a given month? Talking about the Lord's share, household expenses, monthly payments. Let's continue with our illustration. So our tithe would be about $520. We do about $150 in offerings. Household expenses, $985. Mortgage and utilities, about $1,995. Automobile payment of $600. Do some savings, $250. But then we come to that category called other, $690. Do you really know where all your money goes? That money you carry in your pocket or every time you swipe your Interact, where does that money go? On page 9 in your booklet, there's a 14-day challenge. Where for 14 days, I want you to write down every penny that you spend. Now, guys, listen, that's not a life sentence. Okay? 14 days, okay? See if you can handle that one, okay? It would be amazing. You'd be amazed, but where you're spending a lot of that money. Like $698 is quite a bit of that $51.98, isn't it? So really find out where your money goes. So the total expenses there are $51.98. So, okay, our expected income was $51.98. Our expenses incurred were $51.98. So our outcome, Now, before you think that's bad, I wish I could get the people in our churches across our country doing that good. Not spending any more than they make. That's what you call a balanced budget. Okay? Now, if you want to better your bottom line, though, there's one of two ways you can do that. We call it the fire ordinance. You can better your bottom line if, first of all, you make more money. And you can be as creative as you want. You can put longer hours in at your place of employment. You can have a spouse who goes out to work where you're a two-income family. You can find a need in your community and supply that service to charge for it. Like, if you can make more money, your bottom line should come up. But, you know, as I talk with people across the country, I often run into this. Pastor, that's not an option for me. I'm working flat out. I have a wife, I have family, I have children, I need to spend some time at home. And I agree with that, okay? So if that's not an option for you, the only other option you got is this. Reduce expenses. Now, financial advisors tell me that Canadians make enough money, we just spend too much. Okay. When it comes to reducing expenses, the first thing you have to tell me is, where will you cut back? What will you do without? And we're not used to doing that in Canada, are we? Like, we're bombarded with commercials, advertisements, tell us we need this new gadget, this new thing. We don't have a do without list. We have a wish list. You know, bigger home, nicer car, bigger toys for bigger boys, all that kind of stuff. But if you're going to reduce expenses, you have to find some place where you will cut back. Interesting slogan, no pain, no gain. Okay? Let's go on to principle number four, manage your spending. Six important players in all of our lives, whether we're in the church or outside the church, first important player is God. I have Canada Revenue Agency second. You know why? I don't care where you live, they're going to find you. You and your family, our world circulates around our family, our employer, the place we receive our principal income from, our creditors, we bought products, received services, and there does come a time to pay even though it's 18 months down the road. And our neighbor, very important player in our life. Let's start with the first one. God comes first. Ends off by saying, each day has enough trouble of its own. My son, as I mentioned, is a cop in Winnipeg. My wife, she's an ER nurse. And when they get together, they swap stories. Kind of interesting listening. But then they'll turn to me and say, Dad, you don't live in a real world. I deal with nice Christian people all across the country, okay? I don't have to worry about that person who's been stabbed, beaten up, shot, overdosed. Like, the world out there, friend, isn't a very nice place, okay? We need God in our lives so we can effectively reach that world out there, okay? The Bible says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Now, the Bible also says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Only a verse in the Bible where God says, test me in this. I find that kind of interesting, okay? Tithing is a very interesting principle. God has placed in his word promises and instruction because he wants to bless us. Okay? But so often we tie his hands so he can't. That's how I explain tithing. When you walk in obedience to the word of God, you invite God into your world. And when God's in your world, he works miracles because he's just that kind of a God. Okay? But when you walk in disobedience to the word of God, you're pushing God out of your life. You're saying to God, I know better than you, I know more than you, and you're on your own. I kind of like God in my world. But listen, look what it says. Bring the whole tithe. I grew up in church. My dad was a pastor. I've been in ministry almost, well, too many years. So I kind of know what goes on in church. Bring the whole tithe. How come some of us, no, I know not nobody here, okay, but how come some of them give a little bit to God, you know, in the offering plate? Oh, when the mission plate goes around, they put some there. I wonder how many quads and Sea-Doos God really owns. I know I'm meddling, okay? It says, bring the whole tithe. You know, the kingdom would not lack if the people of God just followed the word of God. I need to move on, okay? Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Those are laws that are always in effect. It goes on to say, each man should give what he determined in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. But I like this part. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Kind of an interesting verse. I paraphrase it like this. Do as he says and he'll take care of you. All right, let me need to move on. God comes first. Now the tax man. Our tech at the national office received his tax bill, and he wasn't very happy. He sits down at his typewriter, and he contemplates for a bit. But then he comes up with this. I'm writing to cancel my subscription. Please remove my name from your mailing list. It doesn't work that way, okay? Let me give you the good news, though. First, the government understands that it doesn't do social work and supplies the services very effectively. Charities and volunteers can do a far better service. So they've made all kinds of tax concessions to encourage you and I to become involved in charitable giving. Here in Alberta, 50% of what you give to your church will come back to you via tax receipt. Other tax laws allow us to receive tax credits up to 75% of our taxable income. And when an estate gives to a charity, they can claim the total 100%. The other laws are this, though. Because we do live in one of the best countries in the world, it's important that we do pay our fair share of taxes. Render to Caesar what is Caesar's, to God what is God's. I put up this slide because sometimes we don't get back what we should because we don't know the law. You can pull down your tax form from the internet, but it's a generic form. It may not just fit your particular situation, so it may be to your advantage to seek some counsel at times just to see that you're doing things correctly, okay? So thirdly, you and your family. I'm told that by financial advisors that we should have about 3 months' salary set aside. Don't raise your hand in case for when the emergencies come. How are you making out there? Just 3 months. Like, emergencies always come at the wrong time, don't they? And when you don't have money set aside, then you have to, you know, use your credit card or your line of credit, then you have to pay down debt. Why don't you just, you know, put some money aside? Like, I'm told that in Canada, 60% of us live from paycheck to paycheck, yet we live in one of the richest countries in the world. Let me talk about saving for a bit, how to save. Or is it here? Pick your own method here. I have a couple areas here that might help you. In fact, some of you may be doing this. The minus 10 technique. Your check comes in, so you take 10% off of the Lord's work, another 10% off for your savings, make your budget on 80%. 10, 10, 80. Very simple formula, but it very much works. Secondly is the plus 10 technique. In other words, you pay all your bills for the month, then you would take 10% of that amount. Say that your bills amount to $3,200, you take 10% of that amount, which would be $320. Treat that like a bill, but you put it into a savings plan. Here's one. What about the days due? When I'm home, I put all the change I have on my dresser, and if I have any toonies, my wife, she takes them. Yeah. It's amazing. You know, if you just put your cash aside, you know, your change aside, how it adds up over time. Or why don't you go to your banker? Have him take off 50, 75, 100 bucks, like out of sight, out of mind. There's got to be a way that you don't spend everything that comes in. In fact, the Bible says it this way. In the house of the wise are stores of choice foods and oils. But the verse doesn't quit there. Okay? You need to put something aside. I need to move on. Your creditors, The Bible says a rich rule over the poor, the borrower servant to the lender. I want to talk about how to get out of debt. How to get out of debt. The debt per household is continually to rise, although our salaries are more stagnant. Okay, so how do you get out of debt? Let me share a few things. First of all, a prudent man sees danger, takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Interesting verse. How to get out of debt. Stop credit card spending or any form of borrowing. We all use credit cards. When I go to rent a vehicle or book into a hotel, they always want to swipe a credit card. You will use a credit card probably to buy gas or groceries because you get points. But listen, if you don't pay off your credit card at the end of each month, you pay high interest. Two things keep you poor: taxes, interest. Have you ever sat down and figured out how much interest you pay in a given year? Don't, you'll cry. Okay. All right. Listen, stop credit card spending. Pay off debts, charging the highest interest first. Develop a budget. Many of you have a budget in your mind. You know what your car payment is, your mortgage, da da da. Why don't you put that down on the paper? It should look something like this: taking tithe and taxes off the top. Your housing should be about 36% of your income, your food about 12, and you can go through that. In fact, it's on page 18 in your booklet under the spending plan. Those benchmarks are there. Why don't you put your figures in just to see how you measure up there? Develop a budget. Exercise self-discipline as a lifestyle. Why is it when we see something we really like, but we don't have the money for it, we buy it anyway? I know the mental gymnastics we kind of go through. We say to ourselves, well, everybody else has it. So? Or there'll never be a sale like this again. Well, yeah. What about this one? Look how much money I can save if I buy it now. They haven't figured out the interest. All right? Somebody put it this way. Canadians buy things they really don't need with money they don't even have to impress people they don't even like. Say no to yourself once in a while. It won't hurt you, okay? consider lifestyle adjustments. Seek counsel. Learn to trust in God. Remember Jesus said to the rich farmer who's going to pull down his barns and build greater ones, he said, life doesn't consist in the abundance of things that you surround yourself with. You like this, so you buy it. There never comes a time when you can't want something else because that doesn't bring satisfaction. It doesn't bring contentment. Those things are found in our relationship with God because it's in Him that we live and move and have our being, right? So learn to trust in God. I want to talk now about your neighbor. Your neighbor. Did you know that Christianity actually taught us charity? Neighbor word shows up in the New Testament, they say about 17 times. But one of the most common ones is found in Luke chapter 10. Where Jesus was asked by a lawyer, who is my neighbor? And he told a story. A certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell at the hands of robbers. He was stripped of his clothes, beaten, and sent away, leaving him half dead. Three men came by, priest, Levi, and Samaritan. Samaritan stopped and helped the man. This is kind of an interesting portion of scripture. You could preach on it for a whole year if you wanted to, okay? Listen, this portion of scripture is all about reaching the lost. Who's our neighbor? People outside the Lord. They're hurting. They're in need. Half dead. They have nowhere to turn. No hope. Struggling. In fact, It's kind of interesting. We can kind of identify with this man on the side of the road once in a while, can't we? It's interesting, I find, that this man was going down to Jericho. You know, when we walk away from God, or when we ignore God, when we kind of live without keeping Him in close relationship, we run into problems. It's interesting here that the Samaritan represents Jesus, the Good Samaritan. Aren't you thankful that the Good Samaritans stopped by us? We were like that man on the side of the road, and Jesus came, changed our life. Friend, people are hurting all around us. Maybe even some of you here today are hurting and struggling. They need Jesus. He really is the answer in the world today. I just think that God sometimes is so in our face that we really don't even see him. You know, he's right there all the time if we would just reach out to him. I need to move on. The Bible says it's something in a verse like this. It's possible to give away and become richer. I like that one. This next one I don't like. It's possible to hold on too tightly and lose everything. Yes, the liberal man shall be rich by watering others. He waters himself. Okay. The pastor, preacher time would like to come out, but I need to move on because our time is going. Okay. But maybe God's talking to us. Okay. Maybe God's talking to us. I need to move on. Plan for retirement. These guys had a plan of retirement. It wasn't working very well. What's your plan? Here's a chart that is kind of interesting. Let me go back here. I want to pick up the pen. In 1961, 7% of the population was over the age of 65, and 42% of the population was under the age of 19. In 2031, they say 27% of the population will be over 65, and 14% of the population will be under the age of 19. What's that saying? Older guys like me and others with white hair around here, I won't point any fingers, we're okay. But you young guys at the back row there, I'm not sure. You see, CPP was never meant to be a retirement fund. It was to help out a retirement. Did you know that Canada pays out the least to its seniors of any industrialized nation? If you're going to live on CPP and old age security, you're going to live below the poverty line. So maybe planning for retirement is something you should catch on to. Okay? Because you're all going to get older. And it comes too fast. All right? So in planning for retirement, I want to bring up some things where you may start. And this is not the only way to plan for retirement, okay? It's just one way. You may want to start with an RSP. On your notice of assessment that you receive each year from Revenue Canada, it tells you how much you can give in an RSP. It's based on 18% of your previous year income this year to a maximum of $26,010. And if you don't put that much aside, you can carry the balance to future years. And this is what I kind of like showing young people. Age 20. Say you could put $1,000 aside in a given year. And we use 6%. They tell me I can still use that. I used to be able to use 10, okay, but not anymore. 6 is over 45 years. They say, well, 6 is maybe okay. So using 6, by the time you turn 65, you'd have $239,000. Not too shabby, all right? Say you're not 25 or 20. Say you're 45. You put $1,000 aside in a given year. By the time you turn 65, you'd have $42,000. Well, that's better than nothing because when emergencies come, you got something to draw from. Okay, but say you could do better at 45. Say you could do $2,500. By the time you turn 65, you'd have $105,000. That's a lot better. But if you start doing that when you're 35, you'd have $223,000. And I always get the young guy who says to me, okay, Pastor, I'm 25. What would mine look like? So I actually figured it out and put it in here. If you start at 20, $435,000. Okay, not the only way to do a plan for retirement. Okay, you need to talk to your advisor before you go into something like this, but that may be something that you should consider. Now remember, when you make a contribution to an RRSP, you get a tax deferral plus a savings plan. So it might be something to consider. Now, take advantage of compound interest. Compound interest is basically making interest on interest. And I used to be able to use the penny illustration. Can't do that anymore. So I found a chart. Okay, the light color is the simple interest. The darker color is the compound interest. See over 5 years how much the darker color has raised above the simple interest. Now, extend that to 10, 15, or 20 years. Compound interest works to your advantage. So you young people, start putting something aside now. It doesn't have to be a lot because you got the time factor that works for you. Compound interest works to your advantage. If you're going to invest in mutual funds, or if you have invested in mutual funds, historically, they do okay. They're hooked to the market, okay? So every time the market goes up, yours go up. Every time the market goes down, they go down, okay? You need to talk to your investor. I always have people bringing me their forms with me, and I just can't deal with them in an hour. So you have an investor, okay? He's probably did a risk assessment with you, helping you to find out where your risk tolerance is. He's probably had you in what he calls a balanced portfolio, which means, you know, all your money isn't in one place. It has it in a number of different places. So if one doesn't do well, the other ones maybe do well, that type of thing. But you need to understand them if you're investing in mutual funds. Now, if you want to invest in the Lord's work, there's two areas, and you can just talk to me personally about them. One is mortgage certificates. With this money, we build churches across Canada. The other one is for older people. It's called gift annuities. Gift annuities provide regular payments not only for your lifetime, but the lifetime of your spouse. The interest rate is based on your age. The older you are, the higher the interest we can pay you. And all or at least a large portion of the interest payments are tax-free. That's kind of an interesting investment, okay? Let me give you an example, and then I'll run from it. Say you're 72 years of age. You have to be at least that before you should even look at this. And you want to do a $10,000 gift annuity investment. We can pay you 6.5%, okay? But the charts say that 85% of the interest you receive is tax-free. That would mean that if you took that 10 grand outside somewhere, you would need to get 9.5 to 10% on that investment to equal what we can give you. So it might be something that you want to consider, and if you are interested, just talk to me about it. I need to move on. Plan for retirement, doing the final touches. Now, here's the important words, okay? While you are still here, you may need what we call a substitute decision maker. While you're alive, if you become incapacitated, can't make decisions on your own, you need somebody else to make those decisions for you in two areas. One is the area of finances. The other is the area of personal care. Depending where you live in Canada, they're called different things, but they all mean basically do the same thing, okay? If you don't have these documents, we can help you with them. Power of attorney documents are only in effect while you're alive. Wills only come into effect when you pass away. They don't overlap, okay? I kind of like what this guy said to his wife. He said, just so you know, I never want to live in a vegetated state dependent on some machine. He says, if that ever happens, just unplug me, okay? She says, okay. It wasn't that machine he was talking about. I need to move on. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What's your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while, and then you're gone. The stats out there aren't very encouraging. About 3 out of 10 people have wills. Many say they don't have enough money to make a will or think they're going to die if they write a will. I write that one all the time. Some say that wills are only for older people, and some of you are saying, I got plenty of time, and I say, yeah, right. In Alberta, you need a will if you're over the age of 18. If you're recently married or divorced, you need to update those documents. A will can reflect your family concerns. You should look at your will every 5 to 7 years because things change over time. If it doesn't provide for the Lord's work, or if you're a new parent, all good reasons to make sure you have that document. Advantages of having a will: avoids family conflict at an emotional time of loss. And I could tell you some very interesting stories in there, one, but my time won't let me. Let me put it this way. I know of loving Christian families that became not so loving, and you guessed it, not so Christian, because mom and dad had left nothing written behind, and the estate really wasn't that big, okay? Controls the way assets are distributed, provides for special circumstances. Here's one. Secures the future of minor children by naming guardians and trustees. I saw a lot of kids running around here this morning, okay? And that's exciting. But listen, if you both go and you don't have a will, your kids become the property of the court. And the court will determine where those children go. Now, they may name the same person you have in mind. No guarantee. You need to have a will declaring your intentions and your preference. Allows you to make provisions for some of your assets to go to the Lord's work, and you can save estate money if you have a will. Now, if you want us to help you in these, with, in this area, here's what we would talk about. Who would be the executor? Of course, if you're married, your spouse. But you need to also have an alternate person, because if you both go at one time, you're naming an alternate person without asking them. They don't have to act as your executor, okay, even though you have their name in a legal document. So you need to contact that other person first. Who will be the guardians of your minor children? Better you name somebody than the courts. What ages should the kids have their assets distributed to them? Do you want some of your assets to continue to support the Lord's work? Will you do it yourself? Get some assistance, turnover? All good reason. Questions that need to be answered, okay? Now, we do two types of wills. The first one we call the traditional will. And I've tried to make it as simple as possible just so you can grab it quite easily. When one spouse goes, the fees of executing an estate are about 5%, so off would come 10 grand. We're assuming that the surviving spouse doesn't use up any of that estate, just lives off the interest, but when that one goes, another 5%, so after both mom and dad have gone, of that 200,000, what's left is 180,500. If they have two children, 90,250 to each child. That's what you call traditional. One spouse to the other spouse after both go to the kids. Now, question. How long do you think it takes a beneficiary to spend what you've set aside in your 80, 85, 90 or so years? I like this. All those things. Now, we also do what we call the charitable will. Let me use the same size of an estate, 200,000. By the way, that 200,000, the reason we use 200,000, that is the average estate across the country. Now, with housing going up so much higher these days, that of course would raise somewhat as well. But in our document, we say when one spouse goes, everything goes to the other spouse. You want as little disruption as possible when one of you go. But when the surviving spouse goes, the fees of executing the estate are 5%, so off would come 10 grand. Now, we're encouraging our people to leave something to the Lord's work. We used a 10%. Nothing magical about that, okay? But the kingdom has such great needs. And in fact, our mandate is basically this, reaching lost people everywhere, planting churches around the world, equipping training leaders, caring for people, orphans, widows, feeding the hungry. Like the need, my friend, is tremendous, all right? So off would come 20 grand. Now what's left is 170 grand. Each child gets 85,000. But because you give something to the Lord's work, the government kicks back into your estate a tax refund of about 40%. In Alberta, it's greater than that. It would be 10 grand, not 8 grand. You break that in half, add it to the bottom, your kids receive very little less. Might be something to consider. Let me close by talking about this, though. A charitable will recognizes the blessing of God, and He has blessed us. It expresses a personal philosophy of life that includes other generosity. In fact, we started off by storing up yourselves treasures in heaven, didn't we? expresses a personal philosophy of life that includes others, demonstrates values to family members left behind, provides a sense of self-satisfaction as you live out your days of service. Not only that, you can get Revenue Canada working for you. I like that one. And God says, well done. Well done. Okay, pastor's going to come and close in a minute, but I want to just say a couple things. If I've said something you're unaware of or disagree with, why don't you talk to your lawyer or financial advisor, okay? If you feel we can help you, there's a sign-up sheet that's going to be going around. Be happy to sit down with you, confidential, personal appointment, deal with whatever you're willing to deal with. If it's wills or power of attorney or just want to talk about your finances, there's no problem with that. Just appreciate the fact of being able to be with you here in Pincher Creek. first time I've been here. And thanks, Pastor, for the invite. And so appreciative of meeting you folk. And, you know, you laughed at my jokes. And what else can I expect? Okay. Come on, Pastor. God bless you.